Collaborative Research Support Program. It is a project supported by or funded by USAID. USAID is the acronym for United States Agency for International Development. And USAID has been supporting IPM since 1960s. First project was given to the International Plant Protection Center at Oregon State University in the 1960s and 70s. And the second project was awarded to University of California in 1971. And third project was awarded to the Consortium for International Crop Protection in 1970s and 80s. And in 1993, USAID decided to go for the IPM CRISP program. There are about 8 CRISP projects that are operating in the US. IPM CRISP is one of them. And Virginia Tech-led consortium was successful in securing the IPM CRISP program in 1993. And since then, the IPM CRISP has been managed by the Virginia Tech. And during the phase one, that is 1993 to 1998, there were 4 host countries involved in this program. In the second phase, that is from 1999 to 2004, there were 9 host countries. In the current phase, or at the third phase of the project, there are 32 host countries are involved. In the first 2 phases, the emphasis of IPM was on institutionalization. And in the current phase, the emphasis is on regionalization as well as globalization. The collaborating institutions in this program involve 20 US universities, 5 international agricultural research institutes, about 70 or more host country institutions, and 10 non-governmental organizations and 3 private institutions. In the current program, there are 13 projects. In the 7 are regional projects and 6 are cross-cutting projects, what we call global theme programs or projects. In the Southeast Asia program, the countries involved are Philippines and Indonesia, South Asia, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, Central Asia, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. In Eastern Europe, we have Albania, Moldova, Ukraine, East Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. West Africa, Burkina Faso, Guinea, Mali, Senegal, and Gambia. In Latin America, Ecuador, Honduras, Dominican Republic, Trinidad, and Tobago. Coming to the global theme programs or the cross-cutting programs, one program is on the invasive weed Parthenium. This Parthenium is a neotropical weed. It got introduced to Australia in about 30, 40 years ago. Since then it moved to India, and then it has established in Eastern and Southern Africa. So this program is assisting Africa in trying to control this invasion of this Parthenium weed. Another project is to train the plant pathologist in identification of plant diseases, that is the International Plant Diagnostic Laboratories program. And another program is to control TASPO viruses. TASPO viruses transmitted by thrips are becoming very serious problems in the vegetable production. Another project is on aphid and whitefly transmitted virus diseases. The party viruses and Gemini viruses are transmitted by these 2 groups of insects. And fifth project is on the information technology and database development. This project assists in development of information technology and database for the IPM CRISP. The sixth project is for the assessment of the impact of the IPM CRISP. These are the 4 countries that were involved in the first phase, and these are the 9 countries involved in the second phase, and in the current phase, there are 32 countries participating with the IPM CRISP. Well, as I said earlier, the current emphasis is both regionalization as well as globalization of the IPM CRISP. In the regional programs, you can see there are anywhere from 2 to 5 countries are involved. Whatever technologies were developed in the first two phases. In the current phase, we are trying to transfer these technologies to the neighboring countries. Well, vegetable fields in the tropical countries are mostly operated by small farmers, and the size of the fields vary anywhere from quarter of an acre to 2 to 3 acres. Here is a field, vegetable field picture that is taken in Indonesia. Most of the fields are very small. And IPM CRESP is covering about 90, IPM CRESP is dealing almost 90% of on the vegetable crops and only about 10% on fruit trees. IPM CRESP's approach is primarily participatory. It provides training, networking, participates in research. It also includes public and private sectors. It actually involves in transfer of the technology, and the gender issues are given very much of an importance. And pests and diseases that treat the vegetable crop production in tropics constitute about 55% by the arthropods, 40% of diseases, and 5% by weeds. And within the arthropods, insects contribute about 45% and mites 10% in among the diseases. Viruses constitute about 30%, bacteria 5%, fungi 4%, nematodes 1%. And IPM CRESP is in the process of assisting various host countries in the development of IPM packages for vegetable crops. And one of the packages that is being developed for vegetable crop include the following components: seed treatment for diseases, soil treatment for, again, to control diseases and weeds, use of resistant varieties, grafting plants to induce to provide resistance, and using pheromone traps for monitoring insect pests, use of biopesticides, then implementing augmentative as well as conservation biological control programs, using sticky traps to trap some of the insects, and then adopting a host-free period for control of Gemini viruses. Well, the seed treatment component includes treating the seeds with a mixture of microbial solutions containing Trichoderma verde, which provides protection against fungal diseases. Then treating the seeds with Pseudomonas fluorescens provide the seedlings protection against bacterial diseases. And treating seeds with Bacillus subtilis primarily provides induced resistance within the seedlings. In soil application, neem cake seems to provide good protection to the seedlings from nematode attack, and this is mostly practiced in South and Southeast Asia. And other regions, they use lots of organic matter for the same purpose. And also, IPM CRESP recommends use of VAM fungus that primarily assist the plants or the seedlings in picking up more phosphorus and to be for the vigorous growth. Soil restoration is also adapted. It is primarily used in Eastern Europe, Latin America, and the Caribbean for controlling some of the soil fungi, nematodes, and some weeds. There are several resistant varieties that have been developed under IPM CRESP. To cite a few examples, I have listed in this slide. Eggplant varieties EG195 and 203 are resistant to bacterial wilt. This is being used in the Philippines. Similarly, the red pinoy and condor varieties of onions are resistant to pink root disease. In Uganda, M56 bacterial variety of tomato used for the bacterial wilt infested areas. In Bangladesh, they have developed few varieties that are resistant to fruit and shoot borer, bacterial wilt, jassids, as well as nematodes. And another technique, that is grafting susceptible but high-yielding varieties on the resistant rootstock, was first developed in Bangladesh for bacterial wilt resistance. Since then, this technique has been transferred to several other countries, and also this grafting is used for resistance in other crops too. Just like in the case of watermelon and cantaloupe, they graft these seedlings over pumpkin to provide resistance to fusarium wilt. Here in this left side picture, you can see the eggplants were all killed by the bacterial wilt disease. By grafting this eggplant over the resistant varieties, now their Bangladesh farmers are able to raise good crop. And here on the right side, you can see Bangladesh has been having a, Bangladesh Department of Agriculture is conducting a farmer's field day to disseminate the information on grafting. There's pheromone traps are commonly used in several parts of the IPM crisp families. Eggplant fruit and shoot borer, which is a serious pest of eggplants in Asia, there the pheromones are available for it. Similarly, Helicoverpa, Spodoptera litora, Spodoptera exigua, for all these things, pheromone traps are available and they are used to monitor the field populations in the vegetable crops. This slide shows the production of the NPVs for Spodoptera and Helicoverpa. These NPV viruses are locally exist locally, and the scientists have isolated these viruses and they have commercialized some of these products. And this slide was taken in India. Augmentative conservation biological control is also a part of the IPM CRISP package. In many countries, they release trichogramma for control of Helicoverpa, Armigera, as well as Spodoptera litora. And they use predaceous mites control for control of the Phytophagous mites. Because of the reduction in use of pesticides, conservation of natural enemies is very well practiced. This slide shows use of sticky trap to control or to control leaf miners as well as thrips in Indonesia. And this practice is also adopted in other countries that wherein IPM CRISP is taking part. Use of trap crops. Mustard is used as a trap crop to attract diamondback moth in the cabbage fields. And this technique is used mostly in the Southeast Asian countries. And currently, the virus diseases are causing serious problems in vegetable production. In Mali, the Gemini virus has almost wiped out tomato production, and then the canning industry has to be closed up. And IPM CRISP came up with finding some resistant varieties, and those varieties have been distributed to the farmers. And also, it is recommending a technique that is known as the adoption of host-free period for the management of this disease, and combining the use of resistant variety as well as adapting the host-free period is providing good control of the Gemini viruses in Mali. Another virus that is causing havoc in among the tropical vegetable production is the TASPO virus. Peanut bud necrosis virus is causing almost 50% crop loss in India, roguing the plants and also controlling the thrips by using sticky traps and other methods seems to provide some control for this disease. And also IPM CRISP has developed some of IPM packages for crops. One package is for the tomato, that is use of seeds and seedling treatment with trichodermas, Pseudomonas and Bacillus subtilis, solarization of the seed beds and using VAM fungus, neem cake and other organics, and use of resistant varieties. By using this package, farmers in India were able to get at least three times more profit than the farmers not adopting the IPM technique. IPM package for eggplant is also being under development. Of course, these package development vary from country to country. In some countries, these packages are available up to 90% level. In some countries, it is yet to take place. There is an IPM package for crucifer crops also available. And again, the range of adoption in different countries vary. By adopting cabbage IPM in Indonesia, the farmers are able to at least double their profit over the farmers that are not using the IPM techniques. By using some of the IPM techniques like host-free period for tomato production in Mali, the yield of tomato has been increased almost 500%. IPM technology in olives in Albania increased the grower profit by about 20%. And eggplant grafting in Bangladesh provided almost 249% increase in yield. Fruit fly control in Bangladesh by using Q-lure and also mashed sweet gourd traps, they were able to reduce the infestation by 80%, and that has provided a saving of over $1 million in Bangladesh. And by practicing tomato IPM in Uganda, that is primarily staking and mulching, they were able to increase the yield over 100%. In Bangladesh, the farmers, by using this IPM technology, they were able to get over 77% of yield, more 77% more yield, and also it increased their income over 72%. And IPM crisp in general is assisting in improving the lives of people worldwide. And that is in short on my presentation. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer. Thank you.
We have 4 minutes for questions. What are the main challenges in of implementing IPM in some of those areas? What are the main challenges in implementing IPM in some of those areas?
Main challenges are primarily educating the public about the new technologies and also working with the government institutions to take up some of these technologies and also to try to get these technologies transferred and implemented in the fields.
Yes.
As you are aware, this organic production of vegetable is gaining momentum in different countries, especially Europe, Australia, and also the United States. And the IPM and organics, how these might be compatible, and whether we need any transition from IPM to organic production of vegetable.
Your question is there any relationship between IPM and the organic crop production? Yes, you know, the IPM is quite heavily involved in reducing the use of pesticides. And as I mentioned in the case, you know, in my slides, we are recommending use of treating the seeds with the Trichoderma, Pseudomonas fluorescens, and Bacillus subtilis. That really provides quite a bit of resistance to fungal, bacterial, and nematode diseases. In that way, they don't need to use most of the fungicides or bactericides. Then use of the NPVs, BT, and neem products, as well as others, that also contributes in reduction of use of pesticides. That, in turn, results in encouraging local parasites and predators, and also in assist in the towards the organic farming.
Is there any incentive to a farmer to use the IPM strategy?
Incentive,
yes.
Is there any incentive for the farmers to use the IPM strategy? Yes, definitely. As you see in the case of in some of the slides, when the IPM technology was used in India, they were getting, for tomatoes, they were getting almost 3 times more profit than not using the IPM technology. Similarly, the same result happened in Indonesia on cabbage. If they adopt IPM technology, they were getting almost twice more profit than not using it. So there is definitely a good initiative to use the IPM technology. And most of the governments, as well as non-governmental organizations, also helping IPM CRISP in transferring this technology to the farms.